Morning. May buntag. Can I request everyone to please stand as we read God's word together? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 to. Can we use the ESV? Okay, this is ESV, right? Proverbs 6, verse 1 to 15. Let's read it all together. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given or pledged for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself, for you've come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten, plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep, your eyelid no slumber. Save yourself like gazelle and hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Oh, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and one like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. Wings with his eyes and signals with his feet, points with his finger. A perverted heart desires evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Let's pray. Father, as we come before your presence this morning, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. We ask that you cover each and every one with the precious blood of Jesus, that we may just receive your word in holiness, O God. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'll be the one to minister to each and every heart. Have your way, O Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill this place, Lord, with your manifest presence, O God. And we pray right now, O Lord, that you allow your word to be delivered with anointing, with clarity, and with power. Lord, anoint my lips of clay, O God. Hide me behind the cross. And Father, we pray, O God, that your word once again will bring forth blessing upon our lives. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, guys, before I begin preaching, I think I just have to get this out of my system. No, I am feeling kind of unnecessary pressure right now. Pastor Nigel led us to the liturgy. He was so eloquent, no? He's like an orator. Then Pastor TJ came, a graduate of Mass Comm, so fluent in English. And here I am, pinakabisdak sa tanan pastoral team, about to preach to you guys, okay? So pardon my preaching. Every now and then, I will be using my native tongue. So if you're seated next to a visitor who can't understand Bisaya, please be a nice brother and sister in the Lord and translate them for me, okay? And on the bright side, at least not only are you going to be learning from the Word of God this morning, you'll be learning new language, no? Okay? So Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. Now, the passage we will be learning this morning or studying this morning is quite practical and it's very straightforward. And the beautiful thing about the thing that we're going to study this today is that as we go through the passage, we can learn a lot of values, no? Values and rich principles. Values that we can apply in our daily lives and principles that can help us navigate the complexities of life. And church, that's the beautiful thing about Proverbs. It's like a manual for life. It's like an instruction guide on how we are to behave and conduct our affairs in order for us to glorify God and, you know, succeed in life. Now, I believe most of us here want to succeed in life. So let's heed noon sa gisulti sa Proverbs this morning. In our family business right now, we are in the process of restructuring our family business. We are restructuring it from a family managed business into professionalizing our business. And for us to achieve this goal, we needed to hire consultants, no? We needed to bring in these brilliant people. And guys, these consultants don't come in cheap. In fact, we are spending hundreds of thousands of pesos to pay these consultants. And we are doing this in order for us to achieve our goals, in order for us to reach our targets. And what do these consultants do for us? Is that they guide us, they teach us principles that we need to apply in our business so that our business will grow. They train us. They impart to us their wisdom. They tell us what to do. In other words, what these consultants do for us is that they offer to us their wisdom, if you may, no? We are paying them for their wisdom. So, ingon ana ka importante ang wisdom. Now, over the years, as we applied the methods and principles that our consultants have taught us, by God's grace, we have seen the growth and improvement in our company. We have not yet reached our goal, but year in, year out, as we apply the quote-unquote, the wisdom of the consultants, we can see that our company is really getting better and better. Now, guys, why am I sharing this? Now, you have to understand that the consultants that we brought in, they are just plain and ordinary people. Siguro, mas bright lang sila na gamay, but they are just ordinary people. And my point is this. Imagine for a moment having the wisest man who ever lived in human history to become your consultant. Imagine the wisest man who ever lived in the entire history becoming your consultant, training you, teaching you, no? Kind of imparting to you his wisdom on what you need to do in life. Now imagine how you can grow in your life. Imagine what he could do for you. And that will be our approach this morning as we study this passage, no? Let's treat King Solomon like a consultant to us. Because our passage this morning is quite practical and it's very straightforward. Mga muragid siya mga practical advices. And just, you know, you get what I'm trying to say, right? Let's heed the advice and counsel of King Solomon. Now, over the years in the ministry, if there's one thing I came to appreciate is that, or kanang akong na-experience, that I want to be in the company of wise people. No, because being in the company of wise people, someday, sarog yun di ka matakdan yung gana one of these days, no? So, I like to be in their company. I like to listen to their ideas. I like to listen to, you know, the things that I can learn from them. Much more, no? I think it is very wise to listen to the wisest man who ever lived in the history of humanity, okay? So, I've entitled today's sermon, Avoiding Foolishness. Because this is what this passage is all about. Is about avoiding foolishness. And this morning, we have three main points, okay? We have three main points in our sermon today. Verse 1 to 5 talks about debt, utang, and humility. Verse 6 to 11 talks about work and laziness. And verse 12 to 19 talks about wickedness and its consequences. As we go through these three points, we will unearth so many principles that we can use in our daily life. And so let's go to the Word of God and let's receive it with an open heart and an open mind, okay? Now, point number one, a teaching on debt and humility. Here in verse 1, Solomon says, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, have given pledge for a stranger." This is what Solomon says. Now, here in verse 1, Solomon warns us against guaranteeing or becoming a guarantor to another person's debt. In our modern-day term, it's called a co-maker. He warns us against being liable for the financial obligation of another. Now, be it someone who's close to you, a neighbor, no? Maybe someone close to you, like a cousin, a relative, a friend, or so, or someone who's really close to you, or someone who's a stranger to you, someone who's not so close to you. Either or, whether the person is close to you or not, Solomon tells us that it is highly unwise to guarantee for someone else's debt. Now, question, is the Bible encouraging us to be selfish? Or is Solomon telling us not to help people in need? Now, in order for us to answer that, we need to look at another verse in order for us to put things into perspective and right context. Now, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 26 to 27. I'll be reading this from the NLT. It says here, do we have it? Okay. It says here, "Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from you." Now, church, the words, "if you can't pay it," the phrase here, "you can't pay it," connotes those two things. The first thing is you can't pay it because you simply cannot afford to pay it. Meaning to say you don't have the resources to pay what you've guaranteed on, no? That's the first connotation. The second is you can't pay it because you are unwilling to pay it. It is against your will to pay it. Now, the bed here signifies rest and sleep. And Solomon says, if you guarantee on someone else's debt, your bed, your sleep will be taken away from you. Now, if you are guaranteeing for someone else's debt and you are unwilling to pay it, you know, you can't sleep properly at night. Because in your heart of hearts, you don't want to, you know, pay that debt. So either or, either you can't afford to pay the debt or you simply are unwilling to pay the debt. Solomon tells us that it is highly unwise that you guarantee for someone else's debt. Now, on the other hand, if you can afford to pay for the debt and you are more than willing to pay for the debt, if this is your attitude, no nga, sige bayad, pangutang lang. Go ahead, go borrow money. Kung di ka bayad, ako'y bayad. Adi nakakabayad, sige, ako'y bayad, pangutang pa. No, unless that is your attitude, then it is highly unwise for you to guarantee for someone else's debt. And the point is simply this, guys. The scripture is not encouraging us to be selfish. It is not telling us not to help other people. But it's simply giving us a clear and fair warning against guaranteeing for someone else's debt. Now, as I was studying this passage, I remember a tip that my early discipler taught me, Pastor Jing Dobrico. When I was still a young Christian, he told me, Joe, if you're a Christian, you can't avoid it. Di ginat ni mo kalikayan. People will borrow money from you. You know why? Because as a Christian, people expect you to be nice. So naagyo na yung mangutang ni mo. And that's what he taught me, this principle said, every now and then, people come to me to borrow money from me. And sometimes I doubt if they have the intention on paying for their utang. And sometimes I doubt if they can afford to pay for their utang. So if a person comes to me and he wants to borrow 1,000 and I think that he will never be able to pay this back anymore, this is what I'll do. Bro, I don't have 1,000 to lend you, but here I have 400 pesos. Keep it. You don't have to pay for me. You don't have to pay for it. And he said, I'd rather happily lose 400 pesos helping a friend than angrily lose 1,000 pesos kay dili ko mabayaran. And the thing is this, guys. Every time when debt or financial things are involved, as Christians, it is highly wise that we would be very discerning. It is highly wise, it's very wise that we, you know, we bring it up to the Lord and acknowledge that everything we have, we're just stewards of God. Amen? So point number one, it's, you know, in verse one, it's a fair and clear warning from Scripture that it is really unwise to guarantee for someone else's debt. So if somebody will ask you to guarantee to co-maker for a debt, tell them Solomon doesn't allow me. Okay? At least you now have an excuse. Wise, no? No? Wise. Now, verse 2. Solomon says, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, if you are caught in the words of your mouth. Now, here in verse 2, Solomon is telling us that the words that come out of our mouth has the power to entrap us. The words that comes out of our mouth has the potential to bring us into danger. Now look at the words that Solomon used here in verse 2. He used the words snared and caught. Now church, these are the words that we use on animals that are being hunted for slaughter. Caught in a trap, dakpon, padong ihawon, you know, or captured. No, these are the words that King Solomon used. Now guys, although the context of this verse is about the dangers of guaranteeing another person's debt, but from this same verse, we can also learn that we must be very careful with the words that comes out of our mouth. Because the words that comes out of our mouth can actually lead us to danger. Now, just like this person here guaranteeing the debt of another person, equally dangerous is speaking careless words. No? Speaking careless words. Whether it be in your work, in doing business, or in ministry, or you know, in any relationship, speaking careless words is very dangerous. And the point is this: never promise something that you cannot fulfill, or better yet, do not promise anything at all. Never say something that you do not have any intention on doing, because doing so is a sure recipe for disaster. It can ruin you. It can ruin relationships. And as I was studying this verse, this also tells me, banga, This also deals with integrity, di ba? No, as Christians, we're supposed to, you know, say what we mean and mean what we say. Now, there's nothing more turn off for a believer nga ikaw na walay word of honor bitaw, no? Mga tao nga pataka lang og storya. And you know what? Again, as I said, words that comes out of our mouth has the power to entrap us. Now, guys, one time I was very, kanang supposedly I was kind of proud because I was associated with this Christian brother, and he's well respected in the Christian community. But when my dad found out that I was hanging out with this guy, my dad gave me a warning. Oh, be careful with this guy, huh? Because my friend was victimized by this guy. And, you know, my father-in-law said the same when he found out that I was hanging with this guy. I really believe that this person is a genuine born-again Christian. But yet, in his business dealings, wa siya'y klaro ikasabot. Wa siya'y klaro ikasturya. He doesn't have word of honor. And again, guys, nothing is more turned off than a Christian or a person nga walay word of honor. And again, once again, I've said earlier, let us be very careful of the words that comes out of our mouth because it has the power to entrap us. It has the power to lead us into danger. Okay? So let's be careful kung unsa atong gipangsulti. Labi na kung tabian mo. Okay? Then verse 3. Solomon says here, "Then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbor." Now here in verse 3, we can see Solomon advising his son on how to get himself out of the trap that he set from himself. Now his son, this foolish person, promised to pay the debt of another man. Now if the person defaults, he will siya mapugos og bayad sa utang nga dili iya ha, di ba? No? Because he is the guarantor. Now guys, we don't know the amount of the debt that the person guaranteed upon. But judging from Solomon's plea, it must have been very, very, very big. No? Okay, imagine King Solomon, naratul siya, no? He was kanang, you can see it from his plea. The utang must have been very big. Regardless of the value, it's quite clear that this person here was in serious trouble. This person was in a messy, messy situation. Okay? He got himself into a messy situation. He got himself into kanang batik nga situation ba? Now here in verse 3, Solomon is teaching his son on how he can get out from that messy situation that he got himself into. No, mo ni ang advice ni Solomon to his son. And I want us to read the verse, I want us to read the NLT version of this verse because I think the NLT version captures the essence of Solomon's advice to his son. Okay? Now, Proverbs 6 verse 3 in NLT, it says here, "Follow my advice and save yourself, for you have placed yourself at your friend's mercy. Now, swallow your pride, go and beg to have your name erased." Swallow your pride, go and beg. Now, church, what was Solomon's advice to his son? Solomon says, swallow your pride, go and beg. Solomon's solution for his son's messy situation was humility. Humility. Now, church, many theologians believe that the reason why this person guaranteed for someone else debt was because this person was boastful. No? Ah, pangutang dito. I can guarantee that for you. I'm a big time. I'm a big shot. Anak ko kung Solomon. No? Hambugiro ba? No? Careless words. Pataka og storya. And now, he was in a messy situation. He was in a terrible situation. And Solomon's advice to his son was, go humble yourself. Be humble and go beg your friend to have your name being cleared. So guys, Solomon was like telling his son, paubos, tangtanga imong garbo. Go to that friend and plead and beg. Bawi ay mo pagkahambugiro. Take away your pride and be humble. And just pangayo lang pasaylo dito. Ask your friend that he may erase your name out of that debt. And church, the point is this. What's true for Solomon's son is also true for all of us. And by that I mean whenever we find ourselves in difficult situations, The moment we are involved in messy situations, whether it's in business, in career, in work, in school, marital issues, or in ministry, you know this and embrace it by heart, that the first step in resolving issue is humbling oneself. We must learn how to humble ourselves. The quicker we humble ourselves, the faster the situation can be resolved. And guys, let me tell you, this has been tested time and time again in my life. The moment I arrive home, magkunot na ganit ng kilay ni Michelle, wa pa ko kibawon sa gibuhat, I'll just say, sorry, issue resolved. No? The faster you humble yourself, the quicker issues can be resolved. And this is true in any organizations. This is true in any relationship and ministry. We must learn how to humble ourselves. And guys, humbling oneself shouldn't be difficult for us, right? As Christians, this should be a norm for us. Because in the first place, you can never be a Christian if you don't know how to humble yourself. Diba? So I hope and pray that Living Word IT Park would be filled with people na kana mga humble kayong tao ba? No? And guys, over the years, as I applied the principle of humility in my life, di lang ko musulti humble ko, kay humbug naman na, di ba? So over the years, as I applied humility, no, wag yun nawala na ko, no? And this principle always works. It's a very timeless principle. Now, maybe some of you here right now, you're in a situation that you need to humble yourself. Now, let me tell you guys, there's no shame in doing so. Maybe you need to humble yourself to ask forgiveness from someone. Or maybe you need to humble yourself because you need to forgive someone. Or maybe you need to humble yourself because your career, your business is in trouble and you're so boastful, you're so egoistic to ask for help. Guys, there's no shame in humbling oneself. Again, the faster you humble yourself, the faster can you get out yourself out of that messy and ugly situation. So there's no shame in humbling oneself, okay? Now moving on, verse 4 and 5. Solomon continues to advise his son. He says, give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Now here in verse 4 and 5, Solomon is urging his son to settle his issues immediately. He's telling his son not to procrastinate or rationalize. Now Solomon used a trap animal as a metaphor in instructing his son. Now a gazelle or a bird, if trapped by hunters, they will do everything in their might to break free from the trap, right? They will not rest until they escape. And this was Solomon's advice to his son. If you have any issues to settle, if you need to settle this, do it at once. Do not procrastinate. Do not rationalize. And again, what's true for Solomon's son, what's true here is also true for us. I mean, if there are issues that we need to settle in our lives right now, if there are things that we need to kanang tarungon ba, stop rationalizing. Stop procrastinating. That thing, di na siya masulbad by itself. Go there. Be humble. Do what you need to do. Heed the counsel of Solomon. No? Libre. Unlike the consultants, we have libre ang tambag ni Solomon. We might as well follow it, guys. Okay? So, yun siya, do not procrastinate. If you need to settle something, stop rationalizing. Do it immediately. Okay? Now, moving on. Verse 6 to 11. Solomon now shifts his focus from debt and pride. In verse 6 to 11, he now goes to talk to the lazy people, the sluggard. He now talks about work and laziness. Now let's read verse 6 to 8. This is Solomon speaking here. He says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Now, church, what is a sluggard? A sluggard is someone who is lazy. Mga tapulan, no? A sluggard is someone that's very irresponsible and unproductive with their life. Now, there's a quote that says, lazy people are irresponsible and irresponsible people are lazy. Now, this quote perfectly describes what a sluggard is, no? Lazy and unproductive people. Now here in verse 6, Solomon counsels the sluggard. He tells the sluggard to go learn from the ant. No, go learn from the ant. At atong mga hulmigas and learn from them. Go learn from the ant. As I was reading this, I was also thinking, Solomon, unsa may naa sa ant? What's with the ant? Why do you tell this sluggard to learn from the ant? Now guys, a quick Google search will tell you so many fascinating things about an ant. And indeed, we can truly learn a lot from them. I myself, as I was Googling it, na-amaze ko nga unsa, ants are quite fascinating creatures. No, magbuhi na lang tagulmigas, no? They're very, 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 very fascinating. Now, here are some traits and characteristics from an ant. Now, number one, ants are well-organized creatures. They are very well-organized. In an ant colony, each kind of ant, they have specific job. And they do their job so well. They are very organized, no? And in their colony, dili na sila katag. Mas katag pa ang kwarto sa kung anak ng lalaki kaysa colony sa ant, no? They put their larva in one place. They stock up their food in one place. The queen stays here. They are very well organized. Now, church, listen to this. At the end of the day, nothing is left undone in their colony. Because each and every ant properly does their work in a very organized way. Now guys, over the years of doing business, I've met many different people. And I seem to notice that rich and successful businessmen are organized people. No, the way they manage their time, no, set gina ilang mga meeting, the way they manage their business, the way they manage themselves, ilang hinapay, ilang itsura, grabe, organized yung gayo, no? And I seem to notice that it's a common denominator among successful people, that they are well-organized people. So guys, I think one step for us, for our life to become more and more productive, is that we must learn to organize the things in our lives, no? The affairs in our lives, the time, and etc., etc. Let's learn from the ant, as what Solomon says. Let us learn to be organized. Now, second is that ants are busy creatures. They are very busy. Ants are tireless. They are busy all day long. Now, however, unlike many individuals, ants are busy doing something productive. No, they don't waste their time. Now, guys, you have to understand that being busy alone is not enough. You have to ask yourself, what are you busy of? Unsa may na-produce imuhang pagka-busy? No? Or you're just busy watching Netflix, busy watching TikTok, no? Or gaming or whatever. No, being busy is not enough. We should be busy doing something that's productive. As what Solomon says, let's learn from the ants. Then ants, guys, don't waste their time. They're busy being productive. Now, another trait of an ant, number three, is that ants are persistent. They're very persistent. Whenever an obstacle is placed in the way of ants, they will always find another way to accomplish their task. So, ay guna ninyo, tanawan niyo mga hulmigas. If hulmigas yung pagkaon, try to pour water or put your finger. They will just go around their finger. They're not scared of you. They continue to do what they're supposed to do. They are very persistent. Ants do not give up easily in the face of obstacles. They soldier on. They never give up. And church, the point is this. If you want to be productive in life, expect many, many obstacles that will come your way. Now, you have to understand that there are no shortcuts to productivity. The moment you want to achieve something, the moment you want to excel in something, expect that there will be many obstacles that will come your way. And that's a guarantee. But King Solomon tells us we must learn from the ant. We must persist, no? No retreat, no surrender. No guts, no glory. If security guard, no ID, daghang security guard dere. Guys, no retreat, no surrender. Be persistent like an ant, as King Solomon says. Now, another trait, number four. Ants have an amazing sense of discipline. They are very disciplined creatures. Now, here in verse 7, Solomon says that ants don't have officer, ruler, or chief, but yet they perform their duties regardless. So, walay musugo nila. Nobody is supervising them. They just do their duty anyway. Now, the discipline among ants is truly a marvel of nature. Each ant religiously performs her tasks without anyone supervising. This trait is totally opposite to what a sluggard is. A sluggard is undisciplined. They carry the attitude of happy-go-lucky, go-with-the-flow kind of attitude. No motivation to excel, no motivation to succeed, no motivation to accomplish the things that they're supposed to do. No, anak man ang mga sluggard, anak man ang mga tapulan. Now guys, the difference between a sluggard and a productive man is that a sluggard always finds reason not to work. Mapaakan na ka ni Kulmigas, di naganahan mo trabaho. No? While a productive person always takes every opportunity to accomplish what they are working on. Now guys, that's discipline. And lastly, as I knew this, nasuya ko sa Hulmigas, no? Number 5, ants are great planners. They plan. Now, in verse 8, King Solomon says, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Guys, it's astonishing to know that ants literally save up for winter. Literally, they save up for winter. Now, when winter comes, ants store enough food in their colony that during winter, when the cold becomes unbearable for them to work, the ants will never lack anything. No, wa gyud magutman bisan unsa ka hulmigas, because they work hard during summer and store up for winter. In other words, ants not only work for the present, but they also plan for the future. They also work for the future. No, it's amazing. Such tiny creature. But yet, they know how to plan. Now, every now and then when we have our deacons meeting, Brother Bill has a favorite line. He always reminds the team of deacons that if we fail to plan, then we are planning to fail. No? And honestly, guys, I'm not a very good planner. That's not one of my strengths. But as I was studying this, I think it is wise. No, I think it's wise for every one of us that we should learn how to plan. Diba? No, this is the advice of King Solomon. Again, I've also noticed in my encounters with many different peoples is that people who are successful are great planner. Nakabantay ng gyugoana. So guys, if you want to improve in life, if you want to succeed in life, then be a great planner like an ant. Okay? So moving on. Verse 9 to 11. Enough with the ants. Verse 9 to 11. Solomon continues to say, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now here in verse 9 to 11, Solomon is telling the sluggard to stop rationalizing, stop procrastinating, and start working. He's telling the sluggard that there is work that needs to be done. Now, Solomon was trying to get into the mind of the sluggard here, no? Little rest, little folding of hands, little sleep. Now, maybe to a sluggard, para niya, wala na na ba? Maybe to him, why should I exert effort? I'm already contented with what I have. Why should I do this? Why should I do that? Anyway, I can, you know, I'm comfortable now. Chill lang ko, I'm so cool, no? Maybe to a sluggard, for him, wala na na. But yet, in verse 11, Solomon gives him a clear warning. It says here, poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Now guys, the Bible is clear that poverty will come upon a lazy person and it will come upon him suddenly, quickly, without warning. Before he knows it, he will be in great lack. And of course, terrible shame will follow after that. No? So, you know, the Bible even tells us those who don't work shall not eat. So guys, it is very unwise if we continue to live an unproductive life. Because, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be very productive. No? Okay, so let's heed the counsel of King Solomon. Let's get rid of the habit of rationalizing and procrastinating and learn from the ways of the ant. Now moving on, verse 12. To 15. From a foolish and boastful person in verse 1 to 5 to a lazy sluggard in verse 6 to 11. Now here in verse 12 to 15, Solomon now turns his attention to a wicked and worthless man. Okay, wicked and worthless man. Now here in verse 12 to 13, Solomon describes to us the traits and characteristics of a wicked man. Now here in verse 12, Solomon says, a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech. So a wicked person, kanang makakasala nga tao, sinful person, kanang tao nga evil ba, no? And here in these following verses, Solomon describes to us unsa man sila klase nga tao, what are their traits, no? Unsa may mga characteristics nila. And Solomon says here in verse 12 that one clear characteristic or one trait of a worthless or wicked person is his crooked speech. Now church, what is a crooked speech? A crooked speech is the art of masterfully covering lies. You know, these types of people, they don't lie to you out flat. They twist and mince words. They make up stories so that what they are saying may sound so true to you. But in the heart of hearts, they are serial liars. One trait of a wicked man is that when they talk to you, you will never be able to identify kung nag-lie ba na siya nimo or wala. They are very masterful at deceiving people. No, mga bakakon kaayo nga dako. Now, a sample of this is a cheating spouse. No, moingon sa asawa, mag-team building sa amin dito. Pero dali di ay, lain na nga team building ang gi-attend. No, he was cheating on his wife. Masterful liars. Grabe kay mamakak. That their lies, they're so masterful at the cup of lying. No, maybe an unscrupulous trader, a cheating businessman, promising his or her clients, I will do this for you, I will accomplish this for you, so on and so forth. But yet, in his mind, in his heart, he doesn't have the commitment to do those things. Masterful liars. A wicked man are masterful liars. No, that's one trait. Now, verse 13. Solomon continues to describe this wicked people. Unsa man sila? No, winks with his eyes, signal with his feet, points with his finger. Now, these gestures here in verse 13, they are depictions of a wicked man's action. Now, these wicked men are skillful deceivers. They go around victimizing their people. They go around victimizing people. Their conscience are so callous that they have no remorse for their action. Mangilad sila, they don't have any remorse. Bahala, maunsa ka diha. I don't care about you as long as I get my agenda. No, they go around victimizing people. They don't care what will happen. They don't care about the consequences of their action. For as long as they are, they get their agendas done. No, they are people with no conscience. So that's another trait of a kanang sinful or wicked man. And Solomon continues to say that they continually sow discords. Now, verse 14, balik sa ta, ha? Solomon says here, other than they victimize people, other than they deceive people, here in verse 14, Solomon also says that their perverted heart devises evil. Now, the characteristics of this wicked and sinful people is that their heart, they plan out evil. No, their heart is like a factory of doing evil ba? Kusabaga, they're planning, ugma kinsa akong ilaron. Ugma kinsa akong biktimahon. Next week, this is what. In other words, deep in their heart of hearts, they have cherished sins. They are planning their sins. Now guys, for a moment, as I was studying this verse, I also came to realize that this verse 14 is also a wise indicator for people who are in church. It's a wise indicator for people who are in church. It's a good way to examine yourself if you're truly a follower of Christ or not. Because a true follower of Christ can never become like this wicked man. You will never be able to devise evil things in your heart. No, a wicked man, he plans out his sinful actions. No, if maybe this wicked man sees a beautiful girl, he plans out, oh, ako ning bangunyaban, ako ning pa-cute-cutean, ako ning flirt-flirtan, even though if he's already married. Or if a wicked man sees a potential victim, oh, ako ning ilaron, this guy has money and I will swindle him. You know what I'm trying to say? He plans out the things in his heart. Premeditated sinning. No, He plans out things. And as Christians, guys, we will never be able to do such a thing. We will never be able to plan out things in our heart nga kanamusinta deliberately ba. Oh, next week, it's Friday. I'm gonna get drunk because I'm so stressed out. I mean, you can't do those things. Later, when I go home, I'm gonna open my computer and go to that porn site because I'm so tired and I want to see all those pornographic materials. I mean, you don't do those things. You cannot plan out evil in your heart if you're a true blue, genuine, born-again Christian. I mean, yes, Christians are not sinless, at least in this side of eternity. Every now and then, a Christian may fall. But you fall, but not because gituyo ni mo. No? To give you an illustration, no? As we walk our Christian life, as we follow the Lord, every now and then, yes, it's possible that we fall. We rise up and we walk again. Lahi na po nang storya kung tuyo na kag-tumbling-tumbling o ligid-ligid. No? Because a real and genuine born-again Christian can never afford to devise evil in his heart. You will never be comfortable with sin. Impossible. Impossible. Now, Solomon from this same verse continually says that a wicked man sows discord. Now, another trait of a wicked man is that he doesn't have any regard for unity. He doesn't care if families will be broken or friendships will be broken or churches will be broken or will be divided because of him. For as long as he can accomplish his selfish agenda. So what this wicked man do, what this sinful person do is that he plants one lie after the other. He causes people to argue and fight. Whether it's to fulfill his lustful intention or get money or get power or whatever, he doesn't care about the mess that he will leave for as long as he gets what he wants. He doesn't care if friendships will be broken. He doesn't care if families are broken. He doesn't care if churches are broken or, you know, close friends will fight. For as long as he can have his agenda. This wicked man sows discord without any regard for the consequences of his actions. Now guys, in verse 15, Solomon now gives a very, very serious warning against these types of sinful people. People who continue to sin. People who continue to enjoy a lifestyle of sin. In verse 15, Solomon gives a very serious warning against them. He says, therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond repair. Now, Solomon is saying here that the end of this worthless man, no? The end of this worthless man will come suddenly without any warning. Dili siya kasagang. He cannot see this sudden destruction that's coming upon him, but it will happen to him suddenly. And the painful thing about this guy is Solomon says that it will come, he will be broken beyond repair. What will happen to him will be irreversible. No, what will happen to him can never be repaired any longer because his destruction will come suddenly. Now, when I was younger, I wanted to become super rich. As in rich, rich, super rich. So that's why I idolized the gambling lords. I idolize the smugglers. No? Because I see their lifestyle. So I told my sister, Te, mag-smuggler na lang ko. And I gave her my reasons. I told her, what my smuggler na dakpan? No? So I might as well do it. Then she told me, of course, if you want to be a smuggler, go ahead. You can become rich. No problem with that. You can have all the money you want. But let me tell you, she then told me, usara kasakit ihatag sa Ginoo nimo. Then everything will be wiped out. Either ma-paralyze ka, ma-stroke ka, ma-vegetable ka, ma-cancer ka, whatever. No, just a snap of God's finger, everything you work for can be taken away from you. Now guys, that is the end of every wicked man's story. Every unrepentant person's story, destruction will come upon them suddenly without warning. And it's irreversible. Now remember, my friend, although I thank God that he repented, he's now a pastor. But when he was younger, he was a very rebellious child. His dad is a pastor. His dad was the one who discipled me. Grabe yun, tuyoon yun niya provoke yung papa, no nga. You know, his dad is a very faithful pastor. So he does everything he can to provoke his dad. No, kanang he really lived a sinful lifestyle. And one day while he was riding motorcycle, he had an accident. And his foot needed to be amputated because of that accident. And I thank God that because of that, he repented and he's now a pastor. But this is not the case of I'm just trying to give you a picture of what can happen. But Solomon says here, katong people who continuously live wickedly, their destruction will come suddenly and they will be beyond repair. I thank God that my friend was given the chance to repent and he's now a faithful servant of the Lord. But what if you continue on sinning? You continue on the ways of that wicked man. Your destruction can come upon you and you can be broken beyond repair. Now guys, we have to understand that these things I've learned is something very serious. Let's continue to read verse 16 to 19. And you'll find out how much God hates these types of sin. In fact, not only God hates them, but is an abomination unto it. It's an abomination unto him. He is disgusted by it. No, can you imagine God being so angry? No, abomination is like anang kalagot, anak, good ba? No. And these are things that God really, really, really hates. Now you don't want to do things that God hates, right? Now let's read on verse 16 to 19. It says here, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Verse 17, haughty eyes. What's an haughty eye? Haughty eye is that you look down on people and you elevate yourself. In other words, people na kanang taas kay pananaw sa ilang kaugalingon, boastful, arrogant, and prideful people. That's an haughty eye. People who don't know how to humble themselves. Mga hambugiro ba? Taas kay pananaw sa self and look down on people and they think they are so good, may lucky kay sila. That's a haughty eye. Now, and lying tongue, mga bakakon, hands that shed innocent blood. Verse 18, a heart that devises wicked plan, feet that makes haste to run to evil. What we said earlier, people who plan out their sin, people who have cherished sin in their heart. Now the Bible says, if I have any cherished sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now these are the types of people, they plan out next week, mo ni ko buhaton next week, and it's all evil. Their feet, they're so quick to go sinning. In other words, they're so excited to do their sinful activities. Now real Christians don't enjoy sinful stuff, amen? But these people, they're so excited to do those sinful things. No? Now moving on, verse 19. A false witness who breathes out lies, and the one who sows discord among brothers. Now guys, the Bible tells us that the Lord hates all of them. And it's an abomination to the Lord. If you are wise, let us heed the counsel of King Solomon. Let us not be these types of people. Let us not be these types of people. Now guys, as we end today's sermon, I want us to reflect on the words that have been preached today. Maybe some of you here can relate to the different types of people we have talked about. Now, I'd just like everyone to bow their heads as we come before the Lord in prayer. Close their eyes. No? While every head bowed, every eyes closed, everyone, no exception, everyone in this room, bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. Maybe some of you here naka-relate mo sa tong preaching this morning. You feel that you have a wicked heart. Somehow you feel you never, you got to overcome sa imuhang sin ba? Maybe you feel that you are so distant from God because of all the sinful things that you have done. My friend, it's not an accident that you are here in this church this morning because the Lord wants you to hear this message. In verse 1, the Bible tells us that it's unwise to guarantee for someone else's death. But how many of you know 2,000 years ago, someone promised to someone guaranteed, someone promised to pay all our debts. No? Debt that we will never be able to pay. Kaya mga sala na to, the sinful things we've done, it's a debt and we will never be able to pay them. But Jesus came. He was nailed to the cross so that the debt you can never afford to pay, He paid it all. Imuha mga sala, ako mga sala, gibayra ni Jesus dito sa cross so that we don't have to pay for them anymore. Now, church, this morning, if you have that cherished sin in your heart and you want to give it up right now, you want to surrender that cherished sin to the Lord, you want to humble yourself. Ganahan ka nga, Lord, enough na ni nga sala, Lord, I want to humble myself. I want to come back to you. Or maybe what pa yung kay real relationship with the Lord ba? Either or, if it is your desire this morning to recommit your life to the Lord or surrender your life to the Lord, at the count of three, I just want you to raise up your right hand so that I will be able to pray for you. We will not ask you to stand. We will not ask you to come forward. But we just want to lift, we just want you to raise your hand as a sign of humility before the Lord. Telling the Lord, Lord, I need you. Lord, I cannot do it in my own. Lord, I humble myself. Di mo, Lord, if it's not for you, Lord, my life is unproductive. My life is worthless. But friends, remember, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you so that you can have life, so that you can overcome sin and temptation. Again, this morning, if that is your desire, to recommit your life to Christ or to surrender your life to Christ, at the count of three, raise up your right hand, okay? One, two, three. Praise God. Raise them higher, guys. Praise the Lord. You may put them down right now. Now, church, if you've raised your right hand, follow this very simple prayer with me. No? And there's nothing magical about this prayer, but pray this good. Like Solomon says, beg, be humble, call upon the Lord with all your might right now. Just with all that you are, just call upon Him and ask for His help. Okay? Follow this very simple prayer with me. Now, worship team, I want you to pray with me loudly in order to encourage those who've raised their hand. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, today, I admit, I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. For all the sins that I've done. Lord, I will never be able to pay for my sins. Starting today, Lord, help me repent. Forgive me for all the sins I've done. I surrender my life to you. From this day, Lord, I receive you and accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. From this day, Lord, you will be my only God. My only master, my only king. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you so much, Lord, for the ministry of your word. We thank you for your sweet presence as well, oh God. And we humbly ask right now, Lord, that you allow your word that had been preached today continually minister to the hearts of many, Lord. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you for whatever you've done and accomplished today. We just want to give you back all the praise, the worship, the glory, and honor in Jesus' name.